The views expressed on this show by guests and the host on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today we are joined by Bob McIlvain and Matt Campbell. Bob is the father of Bobby McIlvain, who was killed as he was entering the North Tower on the morning of September 11th. And Matt Campbell is the brother of Jeff Campbell, who died in the North Tower on that morning. Both are featured in the newest AE 9/11 Truth film, The Unspeakable. We'll be talking about that today. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
I think this is a very important film, especially coming off of the 20th anniversary. I mean, so many people have so much. There's so much going on in the world, and people have different views about what that is and which side to take. I mean, we're a very divided society, so everyone is very distracted. That's what I see in all of that. In my mission here at AE 9/11 Truth, I see it as an obstacle towards getting people to all look at this very important issue. I consider it to be the most important issue here in the 21st century because it really kicked off the 21st century and really set us on this path that we are on. And I think that waking people up to the real nature of what happened on that day would change a lot, even things that people are upset about now. So we got to focus on this and we got to keep on hitting this hard. So this is very important because it reminds our supporters of why we do this work and how justice wasn't done and the people still affected by it. And you guys both play very prominent roles in that film. I want to know first, what is it like for you when circumstances arise like this in which you have to relive this part of your life for interviews or, in this case, a film? We'll start with Bob.
Well, Andy, I've been doing this since the day after 9/11. So, it, you know, has yet still I get extremely emotional no matter what I do. I mean, it's interesting. We were talking to a psychiatrist once, my wife and myself, and she says, you know, you're both up at the top of a mountain right now, and you both have broken legs. You got to figure out a way to get down on your own. And the idea that, you know, you just can't depend on each other sometimes because it's going to be such a tough journey. Well, I've figured out since then, you know, we've often brought this up, that I've never gotten off the mountain. So I've been stuck on top of the mountain since then. And so I've been doing this for day one. So it's tough. And you just got to, it's like a job, you know. I have a time to do this, and I have a time, and thank God my son has four children, so I have four grandkids that I can mess around with, you know, walk away from it. So I really split it in half. So I have my time to do this, and I have my time to be away with the grandkids. So that's the way it's been since 9/11.
Matt, same question.
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets easier. You know, although saying that, it has been particularly full-on this 20th anniversary. Several reasons, not just the film, the building up to actually, you know, the inquest application to reopen my brother's inquest. I mean, for me, you know, yeah, you're being asked by the filmmakers and also, you know, media to relive that day, and it's not easy. I think it was particularly hard for my brother and my mum, particularly my brother Rob, who was in the film. You know, it was the first time he'd really ever opened up or spoken about events of that day, and, you know, obviously the ripples afterwards. And that was quite hard for me to watch, including, you know, my friend Henry, who's in the film. You know, I think he found it quite hard to go back into that time period and, you know, kind of do like what Bob says, you know, we do all the time. And particularly being so active, you tend to do that. And so it gets easy. Sure, you get, you know, emotional moments where it's hard to get across what you want to say. But I do think, for me anyway, it's getting easier with time.
Matt, and this question is for you. I mean, it's one thing to be supportive and participate in the filing for a new inquest. A lot of that is just procedural and, applying for the paperwork and all of that. But it's another thing to participate in a film. And your family is just as much a part of this film as you were. Was it at all difficult to convince them to take part in this project, go on camera and talk about this, and put their stories on display for the world?
I think it was quite hard to both ask them, but also for them to make that decision to say yes. And like I said, neither of them had really opened up, particularly Rob. Mum had been in a couple of other kind of more mainstream documentaries and found that quite hard. And so she was quite wary of doing it all over again, but knowing that, this was important because it was, to a certain extent, also covering, the legal action that we were taking in this country. So I thought they both did really well. So no, it wasn't easy for them.
I can't imagine, but they were a very good part of this film, and I can't even imagine being the same without your mother in there. So I'm glad that she decided to participate in this. Now, the film is supposed to be released online this week, and of course, what we showed on the anniversary, or rather the night before the anniversary, was a rough cut of it. So if you watched it out there in the audience, if you watched the screening, it may be a little bit different when you actually watch it again online, so it's worth checking out again. And of course, it's always going to be for the better. That's what whole post-production is about. But in the versions that you guys have seen, what was your feeling after watching this film? We'll start with Bob.
I hate to tell you this, Andy. I haven't seen it. I have a very difficult time watching anything. And I've done a lot over the years. And I have a very difficult... When it comes out, I'm going to watch it in bits and pieces. I hate seeing myself in film. I always feel I did such a lousy job. So I haven't seen it yet. I know Tay called me, but I just have a bit difficult time doing anyhow. You know what it is? I think the fact that I can keep going, I just don't dwell on something I do. And I don't call that dwelling because, I definitely will see it. But, I've done so much over the years. I just, when I do something, I have to move on. I just can't sit there and talk about it and think about it. Just move on to the next thing. And that's what I've been doing. I've been doing that for 20 years. I remember doing the film, and I remember there was very difficult parts of it, but I didn't sit and watch it yet.
I understand that completely, actually, especially that sentiment. Once you do something, you like to move on to the next thing, and it is difficult to watch yourself. I've always got to listen to myself every week doing this show and putting it together, so... totally get that. Matt, I don't know if you've seen the film or what versions of it you've seen, but if you have, what were your impressions?
I saw an almost final cut about a week or so ago, and I watched it with my mum and my brother Rob. And, it is a different sort of A&E film. There's not really much in the way of technical stuff in it, which you come to expect, I guess, in an A&E film. But I was pleased in the way that the stories were woven together, both in the US and in the UK, and the impact and the ripples that the events of that day have had to all of us, as whether we be victim family members or friends, because it isn't easy. I thought it was very good, and I'm looking forward to it being released. I know we're lining up a sort of cinema showing in London in the near future as well. So I'm hoping, that makes its way to a new audience as well. I understand about moving on. It's kind of weird. You do stuff and I can't even remember doing some of the stuff I've done over the last more public stuff over the last 8 years. And it is, I guess, to look forward to the next thing. But I still think there's a lot of mileage that can be got out of this film, particularly, further afield than your, say, typical supporters of A&E's work or 9/11 Truth Movement. Because I just think, because there is that emotional story that's being told, and our search for the truth and justice, which I think we all want. Everyone wants the truth.
That's right. That's the number one goal that we are all seeking, and exactly why everybody who is involved in this movement, whether they be family members or just regular activists who took up this call, that is what everybody is seeking. And I think we're all looking for that finality and that ending as quick as possible. You know, it's been 20 years, and it's time. It's time to just come forward, because at this point, as we watch what's going on in the greater world here, it's almost like, what do we have to lose? I think the truth would actually save this country and, of course, affect the entire world. One of the major obstacles, I don't even need to state it, of course, is the media. I think there's going to be sociology classes in the future looking at this time in history and blaming a lot on the television. I think it was actually Kurt Vonnegut said that future generations will look on TV as the lead in the water pipes that slowly drove the Romans mad. And there's a lot of truth to that, and the media has participated, not even just participated, but actively take a leadership role in trying to cover up this issue, disparage people that talk about physics and common sense when it comes to the World Trade Center, and call for a new investigation. Beginning with Bob, what is the single most important thing that you would like this corporate media to take away from this film, if they ever take the time to review it?
Well, first of all, just to eliminate the corporations. I mean, you know, bring the media back to where it's supposed to be, that, you know, it's very local and not being controlled by mega corporations. And really, the media, no matter how you look at it, is controlled by the government. And that has to be taken away from the media. That has to be taken away. You know, the media has to be given back to the people. I was talking to Matt, and I go back to this story, and I mean, this is the honest to God truth. This, you know, we're talking 2006, 2007. The Philadelphia Inquirer and the Daily News were interviewing me, and we sat for about an hour talking about my experiences, the commission hearings, and all that, and the travels I had made with Peaceful Tomorrows. And Daily News, Philadelphia Inquirer wouldn't allow it, the article to come in, go into the following day, and she quit her job. And the girl from the Daily News calls me, and she tells me the Pentagon wouldn't allow her to print the media. Well, that really says something. The Pentagon would not allow her to print the interview I had with her. So I don't think we understand how much control there is of the media. They can't do anything independently. So it's close to a dictatorship type of thing where, they'll get little bits and pieces out here and there. But if someone wants to give an honest portrayal of what they think happened, and in the case of the Daily News and the Inquirer, you had people trying to look into it much deeper. And, of course, what happened? They were told they can't do it. Well, that shows you right there. Now I think it's much worse than it was then. So when you had the Pentagon actually interfering in the Philadelphia Daily News putting out a story, well, you got big-time problems. Because what are you going to say to the Pentagon? So it's not some local yokel saying, well, you better not put that in. You have the Pentagon telling you that. Well, that is scary. And I don't think it's going to change at all unless, we're just going to, we're going to fall into dictatorship in this country. And then, I guess we're going to have another revolution of some sort. I don't know. But I just think it's impossible. It won't happen. There's not enough strong, it's all about money. And who controls the media but money? Until that changes, nothing's going to change.
Matt, same question. If the media, someone from the media, were to review this, and I'm not talking about free fall media, I'm talking about corporate media here, what would you like them to take away from this film?
Well, I mean, I think they will review it. I mean, there are, like you say, bits and pieces that get through. And, hey, the media over here is just as rotten. It's all owned by the same few people, isn't it, globally? But, that doesn't stop the odd piece coming through. I think someone actually said to me, reviews of books and videos and stuff are actually an easier way of actually getting articles into mainstream media rather than just a full-on assault with an article, which obviously Bob found out when the Pentagon interferes. I'm hopeful that when it is released, and I said we've got this cinema showing in November, that I'm going to invite a lot of the, let's say, more friendlier onside journalists who I've been speaking to in the UK, particularly covering the inquest, to see if they would attend and, you know, to see where that goes. But, you know, I agree with Bob. It's, you know, it's hard to get anything out there. It's controlled by so few people in terms of, I mean, editorial control. That's not for the want of, you know, a lot of people trying to do the right thing and trying to you know, publish articles that are worthy of actually, you know, the investigation that they've done. You know, I can only just be hopeful that we get a few reviews out in this country of the film, and that can only help, I guess, you know, the overall that quest for truth and justice. And I said, not least, of course, my reopening my brother's inquest. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I had a fair bit of press coverage in the last year, and obviously approaching the anniversary to do with the inquest. Not all favourable, but, you know, more than you'd expect. At least it's not being ignored, which, you know, to some extent is worse, because no one has any idea that stuff's going on. You know, in terms of where are we going and will it ever improve? I mean, you can only hope that, you know, by people, few people are, you know, consuming mainstream media in terms of news anyway. I don't know any young people who read newspapers or spend ages, you know, looking at actual news. It's certainly very different from when I was growing up. You know, maybe that will be the death knell for quite a few of these organisations. But yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm going to contact some of the press that were favourable in covering the inquest, and just hope that, you know, there are some honest reviews out there of the film.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about how our supporters can help out as well once this film is out this week. Now, there's something that I talk about all the time, and I always press this point because it's important to keep in mind. You know, we keep our eyes focused on the end game, a new investigation, a full acknowledgement. I mean, right on the front page of the New York Times, Building 7, controlled demolition, Twin Towers, controlled demolition. But it, obviously, we're going up against something that has been in place long before any of us were on the scene. And Rome didn't get built in a day, and it didn't fall in a day either. So I think we're going to win in the end. And we're obviously not going away, and we wake up enough people to this. We plant that seed in their mind when other things happen, and if things kind of fall apart, I think there'll be new leadership someday that is going to take this up, and it'll just be a matter of rubber stamping it. That's what I personally believe. Now, some people say I'm optimistic. Yes, I am, but I'm also right a lot of times when I make these projections. So I think we're going to win, but one thing that I focus on, too, is the three-dimensional aspect of our activism. So if we talk to a staffer and show them the evidence, maybe that staffer at the congressman's office can't do anything at that moment, but maybe they'll be the congressman in the future if they play their cards right. And maybe some other event like a 9/11 or some kind of legislation that's not in the favor of the American people comes up. And since they have this in their mind, they will question it more. And so it's like spray painting Remember Building 7 all over the messages that get put forth to us from the media now. So I see positive things in the work that we do, even if we never got a new investigation. So I just want to know, in terms of the secondary benefit of your work and your legacy, what do you think the most impactful aspect of what you have done is? We'll start with Bob again.
Well, I feel like I'm stuck in Orland. But I've had the opportunity, and that's why I feel good about everything, because I really think, and you know, like we don't talk about who did it, all right? I have no problem talking about that. I know we don't want to talk about it now necessarily, but I've been to Colombia, I've been to Japan, I've talked to people in Russia, I've talked to people all around the world, and I always say the same thing. This empire, the United States, they were involved in 9/11, and I feel good about it because I know it will come out. You know, or at least I've had that opportunity. And no matter where I speak, people listen to me. And I have been around the world. You know, I walked from Hiroshima Nagasaki to Hiroshima in Japan, pulling a 2,000-pound stone. And everywhere I went, I talked about this. The president of Colombia invited me down to Colombia, to Bogota, to speak at a conference on terrorism. I talked about, you know, so it's, I feel good about it. I feel I've done my part. I can die. I'm getting to that point now. I'm 77, that I made an effort to find Bobby's murder. You know, it's a murder. My son was murdered, and that's been my job because I went to all the 9/11 commission hearings. I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and I got nothing from it. So this, you know, this country sold me down the tubes, sold me down the drain, but I still had the opportunity to go anywhere I want in the world, and I have. I've gone all around the world, so I feel good about it, and I think it will come out. I think everyone knows, but what can they do? What can anyone do? You know, if my neighbor knows, well, geez, Bob told me this. What can they? You know, there's nothing they can do. And then, again, we're getting back to the media. If they don't want to cover it, it's not going to happen. And someone just mentioned the Kennedy assassination earlier. Well, there it is. Everyone knows what happened to Kennedy, but it doesn't make a difference. And that's the biggest problem. What's the difference going to be? You know, do we have to change this whole system? The system creates what we're doing? And I don't know. I don't know what that answer is, but I hope it is. But so as far as I'm concerned, I've done my job. So I feel good about it. You know, I feel good about that. And people around the world, you know, I talked to a lot of people. So that's important to me.
Matt, same question for you. The three-dimensional aspect, the secondary benefit of the work you're doing in pursuing this inquest and speaking out about Jeff's death.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all I can do is what I can do, I guess. And, you know, I just hope that the path that I'm pursuing right now in terms of trying to get my brother's inquest reopened and ultimately getting evidence in court, which has never been in court, of the use of explosives and incendiaries, et cetera, will be the first time that's ever happened. That will wake up, I would hope, a lot of people, including other family members, victim family members. Ultimately, a change of verdict would be massive. I mean, I don't know, you know, again, we've got the issue of the media not covering stuff, but, I don't know where they would hide should that be the case. And I would hope in terms of secondary, benefits of it actually leading to, you know, whether it be prosecutions or another investigation or, you know, some sort of legal action, whether it's instigated by family members or others, it doesn't matter. It's just to kind of start that process because it will, you know, it's a big foot in the door and it's like a huge can of worms even if we just get it into court, let alone changing the verdict. But, you know, it does come back to, will anyone know about it if the media aren't covering it? Thankfully, and I think with current events, it's very clear, thank God there is social media out there. Yes, there's a lot of shit out there, but there's also, it's a very good way of sharing stuff, what's going on. And so, at least I know it will be covered by some form of media, should we actually get into court. And that's, I guess, going back to legacy or whatever, that I'm just doing what I can do. And it just happens to fit in, the A&E stuff fits in well with my, the scope of what an inquest is. And I just hope that, we're successful.
That's right. And in terms of media and censorship and all of this, I mean, they are trying to crack down. I've seen it. Look, I've been in this movement since I started to wake up in 2006, but I didn't start doing anything until about 07. And I have seen the media being very open in the sense, not the corporate media, but in terms of social media and just all the platforms being, not promoting it, but being allowed to let people promote it. And I've watched them just slowly begin to crack down on it. However, you go walk through some highly paved area, somewhere that used to be a forest and they turned into a parking lot or whatever, but you can always see cracks. You can always see like a little dandelion growing up through the cement, and that is the human spirit right there. There will always be something. There will always be someone making an effort, and the key is just finding those people and keeping it alive, and it will overcome, because it just does historically. Eventually, even if it takes a long time, the truth will win out in the end, and bad people always undo themselves in the end, too. So we're getting in our last few minutes here. And I just want to say to our audience, you can help out, just like you have in the past whenever we've released films. You can hold screenings. You can show it to, you got a movie theater somewhere in your neighborhood. willing to let you. I'm sure they've got their own procedures for it, but they're not that hard to figure out. I mean, you can do anything. Every job is made so that a human being can do it, so you can figure it out and get the film screened there, advertise it. If you need advice on how to do that, contact us at AE911Truth. But you can do screenings or just showing it to family and friends. I mean, that goes a long way, just to waking another person up. You never know who, you know, maybe your brother will be the next big leader out there who figures out how to get this through. So that's how you can do it. You can write op-eds for your local newspapers. I mean, a lot of times they will print them. If they're done well enough and written well enough, and you make your case, there may be even some sympathetic editors out there, a lot more than you'd think. So that is my advice to the audience. We absolutely need you. Gentlemen, our last few minutes, just beginning with Bob, do you have any comments about the importance of the supporters in getting this film out?
There's no question about it. I think it's very difficult, you know, because I know so many people that know what happened. But it just takes such an effort. Like my son, he has four kids. Now, how can and he teaches at a public high school. So how can he be that vocal? And there's so many people like it. How can he be that vocal about anything without getting in trouble? And I'm talking about vocal about the United States at all, not just 9/11. So it's just because of that, the pressure that everyone has. I've talked to so many people, but they said, what can I possibly do? Well, what you're saying there, get involved with architects and engineers, that's a great idea as far as people, just to find something they can latch on to. They can't latch on to me because I don't have a public face, but architects and engineers has that public face. And to keep it simple, too, you know, because, you know, you don't have to get into the who did 9/11 or the whys. You just say, well, this is science. And, of course, that's the importance of what you do. It's science. And you can't argue with science. And it's just a question of spreading the word. But it's so difficult for people to do because people look at them like they're nuts. It's like, again, go back to the Kennedy assassination, where they'll disagree with you. Of course the government was involved in it. But then, big deal, what's happened? Has the world changed since then? No. Things like this happen all around the world constantly. Yeah, you know, so I don't know. Sometimes I get so pessimistic and I can't believe anything can happen. But what you're saying, Andy, is absolutely right. You have to latch on to something and go with it. And that's the only thing really there is to latch on. Because if you just read your history books like I do, what can you do? You know, I can't even talk to my neighbor about it, you know, because they look at you like you're nuts. So it's, and what's happening, you know, with Matt in England, in London, you know, that they're having an inquest. So somehow, some way, that's the only way to go. And when you have the only game in town, architects and engineers that are doing something, then that's what they have to latch on. They have no choice but to do that. And at least to find out if you're just new to this, and that's the way to find out about it, that if you want to do something, you get involved in it. That's where pamphlets and things of that sort work out. You know, you get them. You know, anywhere in the city, you know, you can just go down to the park and just one spring day and hand out pamphlets. So, but I don't know. It's just difficult. It's so difficult. So, but you're right, Andy. That's the only way to do it.
Matt, your thoughts on how the supporters can help get this film out?
Well, I don't know the mechanisms of how they would do that, you know, apart from immediate sort of family and friends. But, I mean, what I would say is because it is a very different film. I mean, it's basically an exploration of trauma and healing and, you know, trying to find the truth and, you know, justice and stuff like that. It is a different sort of film. And so I'm really hopeful that it will reach a wider audience, certainly more than, say, you know, more, you know, technical documentaries that have been put together, you know, to do with 9/11 truth, whether it be by A&E or others, just because it's got that human stories that are woven in. You know, it could easily be, you know, an online documentary, you know, dare I say it, with things like Netflix, you know, because it's telling that human story, that it's not a full on assault, you know, that your government bad is bad, your country's bad, you know, this murder was done by XYZ. It's just following the stories of four families and friends. Trying to find truth and justice and you know, the trauma and all the other stuff that has come along over the last 20 years. And so I just hope it reaches a wide audience. So don't don't limit it to activist friends. You know, try and get it to people who like watching, you know, stories, documentaries, dramas that explore, you know, the human condition, particularly when, you know, there's trauma and healing involved.
That's right, and that's what this film succeeds in doing. And I will tell people, the first step is deciding that you want to do something and that you will do something. I mean, there's a lot to be said about attitude. When you decide that you're going to cross that river, you don't say, oh, how am I going to cross that river? You say, I want to cross that. So that is the first step, and of course we can advise you if you contact us. So we are out of time, gentlemen. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing. I mean, I can't overstate it. And of course, for appearing in the film. And again, it's The Unspeakable. We'll be sending a bulletin out to our supporters when it is up. It may even be up by the time the show airs, which will be good. But it's coming here, and we need all of your help out there to get this film watched by everyone. So thank you, and thanks for coming on 9/11 Freefall today. This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. Have a great week. Good luck.